I hope I'm here at the right time. It's always the right time to welcome you to University United Methodist Church. I'm grateful I can do that. And I hope you may have noticed, if you parked in our larger lot, how much cleaner it was than last week. Our church participated in the neighborhood cleanup going on in different parts of the city yesterday. So I hope you were aware of that. I'm Dean Moyer, and rocking chairs in the back for those of you who would like to use them, either for your own benefit or for the benefit of a child. Restrooms are that way or that way. You will find them. If you happen to be here for the first time, you'll see, well, I can't pull it off, but it's a cover like this on the folder that's available for you. And in each row at the ends, you'll find a folder like this. And inside that folder, our first visitor or regular attender strips to fill out and turn in. You may turn in prayer requests. There are also some inserts you can remove that tell you about various ministries and activities of our church. So pass that down your row and enable persons to take what will be helpful to them. Now, a couple of announcements. First, as I'm reading this from Beth Drew, as UUMC reflects on justice, striving to support all people, two areas continue to be a community concern: the school-to-prison pipeline and individuals who are homeless. Please consider buying a loaf of Brady bread to support the jail ministry and Petals for Possibility. Visit the gathering room after the service today. 100% of the bread sales go directly to these two programs. Now, there is a march, and by the way, you will find these little green inserts that tell you something about the march taking place next Saturday. But those who are participating in it can gather in our church parking lot this coming Saturday at 10:30, and we will go down to Franklin Square where the march will begin. It's a 3/4 mile walk on Dogger Creek Walk to Inner Harbor. If you have a United Methodist Church t-shirt, you're invited to wear that. And we would appreciate hearing from you if you would like to be a part of that. You can either call the office, send an email, etc. Then there's a teach-in Monday evening. Again, you'll find information in your bulletin about that, so please be sure to read that, and perhaps you would like to participate in that teach-in. We are having a prayer vigil in relation to the work of the Judicial Council, which begins this coming Tuesday. They'll be considering the standing of Bishop Alito of the Western Jurisdiction, whether she will be allowed to remain as a bishop, or whether the discipline will be interpreted. Well, I better not add any more there. Join us for prayer. They'll also be considering the status of a gay pastor in New England. So two very important issues, the one about bishop of greatest significance. There will be a prayer vigil in relation to this. Alicia, our pastor, has a sign-up sheet that you may sign up for a time slot. You may also either call the church office or by email contact the pastor or the church office. Plan to share in this prayer vigil. And even if you can't sign up, remember between Tuesday morning and Friday to pray for the work of the Judicial Council. And then our next study book, Making Sense of the Bible. And I understand we're going to have a video, so you may watch that now. And there's information about when those study groups will begin, the time and place of their meeting.
All the things in the Bible that I do understand, that's what really troubles me. There are a significant number of people who, when they read it, are just troubled by what they find. And the Bible, which was meant to draw people to God, actually becomes a barrier for many people. You know, we find ourselves wondering, do we have to give up modern science in order to embrace the Bible? Because the Bible has two creation stories, and they don't agree with what modern science has to teach us. And in fact, they don't even agree with each other. Are the people we know who are gay and lesbian, did God ever really intend for them to be put to death? Somebody picking up sticks on the Sabbath has to be stoned to death. I mean, these are the kinds of things we read. Did God really want women to stay silent in the church? Were they always to be subordinate to men? We come across these passages, and they're few and far between, but when we come across them, we ask, really? Did God say that? Is that what God is like? That just doesn't sound like the God revealed in Jesus Christ. In the end, I hope when people are done reading this book that they have an appreciation for the historical context, the culture of Scripture, how the Bible was put together, who wrote it, why they wrote it, and then how to make sense of its troubling passages so that they can read the Bible and they can hear God speaking through it.
Good morning. How are y'all doing? Okay, great. So I'm honored to say that I'm the pastor here. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood. Welcome. So glad to see all of you. I hope to see you at the end, because I'm going to stand over here and shake everyone's hand and say hello to anyone who I haven't seen before and those who have been here for quite some time. Quickly, the time in between, the time from Easter all the way to Pentecost, which this year is June 4th, is called either the season after Easter or Eastertide. So we're going to be singing songs and referencing Easter and the resurrection all throughout this time. So in a couple of weeks, if we sing a song that's a quote-unquote Easter hymn, you'll know why, because it's Eastertide, okay? So I'm looking forward to pulling out all of those fun ones from Easter, because Easter isn't just one day. It's our whole thing. It's the bottom line of Christianity. So, okay. So we're starting a new series. Something looks different up here, right? Does it look different than it did last week? There's no more water. There's going to be things added each week, week after week, as we grow into this concept, this theme of emerge. And today we're talking about coming out, leaving comfortable places. No more fish. But we have... But we have a new kind of creature coming. You wait and see. The butterfly has long been a symbol of resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus, as well as the resurrection of believers as we emerge from the power of death. This Easter season, we will examine our own transformations from cocoons and tombs to the unfurled beauty of all God calls us to be. At some point, we cannot contain ourselves, the selves God has created us to be, coming out as people and as a church from what we had known into a new identity is filled with anxiety, unknowing, and hope. The caterpillar's instincts about cocooning, entering the nurturing dark of gestation, is paralleled in the story of Mary's pregnancy, the dark of the tomb, and our willingness for transformation. All along the way, we will hear this repeated: do not be afraid. And so let's start our day by singing our theme song, This is a Day of New Beginnings.
This is a day of new beginnings, time to remember and move on, time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone.
Good morning. I'm Lee Potter, and I'll be your liturgist this morning. Right now, if you would please rise, if you are able, and join me in the call to worship. Creator of life, before we were born, you knew us. You shaped us in the most comfortable space, forming us inside the warmth of mother. When we emerged, we saw light, but we curled up into a ball and closed our eyes. But you whispered, "Do not be afraid." Even as we mature in life and faith, we allow fear to curl us up and close our eyes. You whisper, "Do not be afraid." Forgive us for hiding in comfortable places, for ignoring our identities, for blocking out hope, for avoiding transformation. Renew us as your children, born of water and spirit. Coax us out of our comfortable places, that we may do the hard, sometimes uncomfortable work before us. The one who created us redeems us. The one who transforms us empowers us. Do not be afraid. Let us join in singing our opening hymn, "Up from the Grave He Arose," on page 322 in the hymnal or on the screen.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty cry for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lived forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they sealed the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with his mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
We have a tradition of greeting one another by shaking hands and saying good morning or peace be with you. Today, you might like to say, "Do not be afraid."
Good morning, everyone, again. I'd like to invite the children to come forward and have you wrap up your conversations and join us in the children's time, the blessing of the children.
For by the life and death of Jesus, love's mighty Spirit now as then can make for us a world of difference as faith and hope are born again.
I'm glad to see all of you. So I'm wondering, who knows this book? Everybody knows this book. Oh, let me see. Oh, no. So tell me what happens. Don't tell me the end, okay? But tell me what happens in the middle of the story. What happens in the middle?
Action.
Action. Yeah, there's action, that's for sure. What happens in the middle? What happens in the middle? He goes into a little tiny blue ball. Anything else? All right. Well, this is a book called The Very Hungry Caterpillar, and it's by Eric Carle. So in here, the caterpillar is a little speck. I wonder if that's what you're thinking of. And then he grows, and he gets warm with the sunshine. And then this is what I thought everyone was going to remember. How much he eats. Do you remember how much he eats? He eats the apple and the pears and the plums and the strawberries and the oranges, right? Are those? Yeah, and oranges. Does that sound like any of you? Do you all eat all that? A lot of food? Yes. 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 And then look at all these things he eats. Oh my goodness. He eats. I'm going to read it. He eats chocolate cake, ice cream cone, pickle, Swiss cheese, salami, lollipop, cherry pie, sausage, cupcake, and a slice of watermelon. Does that sound like what you guys eat? No, and kind of. Okay. And he even eats a leaf, which is what you would think he would eat, right? And look at how big he is. Whoa. Yeah, he's the size of a pine cone. He really is. And he's getting prepared because he knows instinctually that he needs to get into this cocoon, right? And he's in this cocoon. And then what happens? Yeah? He turns into a butterfly. He was a beautiful butterfly. And we all have a chance to do that. Even though we're not caterpillars, we all have a chance that we can become a beautiful butterfly. And for people around us and for God, that means that we use our gifts that God has given us. And whatever that means, we become a beautiful butterfly and we do what we're meant to do and be. And what did you make in Sunday school today? You made butterflies, yeah. So I'm wondering if you can hang some of the butterflies up on these banners, okay? Can you do that for me? All right, and I'm just going to put them out. We don't have to hang them all this week. Let's save some for next week to hang, okay? How about you each hang two, okay? And I'm going to come up there so no one falls. I don't want you really climbing, so just do what you can reach, okay? Please don't climb on the chairs because some people might have heart attacks, including me. So just do what you can reach. And we want them on all the different banners. Two, whoops, a beautiful butterfly. I think is he not sticking? Are they sticking?
Yeah.
Okay, good. No, yes. Let's see what, oh, there you go. Okay, good. Ooh, look at how beautiful they are. They're beautiful. Yeah, do we need a new sticky? There we go. They're beautiful. Thank you so much. All right, did everyone put two on there? They're lovely. Let's see. Okay, so I'm wondering if we can finish our work. Yeah. I'm wondering if we can finish our work and we can pray at the same time. Will you pray with me? Yeah, that's great. I think you did a great job. It's beautiful. All right, let's pray together, all right? Loving God, we thank you for the gift of being able to go into a cocoon and learn and grow from you and from others around us so that we can be all that we're meant to be and become a beautiful butterfly. Amen. Will you, I'm so grateful you came up, and so what I'm going to have you do is go sit with the person you were sitting with before we got started here, okay? Thanks for making the beautiful butterflies in Sunday school. They're gorgeous. They're gorgeous. Oh, okay, and prayers now. So as a part of our worship, we are a praying community. If you would like your prayer to be read as a part of worship today, please fill out your lavender, purple slip or yellow slip, and we have some ushers that are going to be coming by to pick them up.
Then let us with the Spirit's daring step from the past and leave behind our disappointment, guilt, and grieving, seeking new paths and sure to find. Alive and goes before us to show and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new.
Let us join together in a time of prayer as we pray silently, followed by a short spoken prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we see the earth rebounding from the brown and white of winter with many shades of green as buds, leaves, grass, and colorful blossoms appear, and we are thankful. We are thankful for your glorious creation and for those who seek to cultivate and preserve Earth's bounty for us and for future generations. We pray for guidance and courage in this time of challenge and uncertainty. Our world, our nation, our state, our city, and our church need your blessing. We ask your blessing upon all those who have been mentioned in this service today and upon those who love or are concerned for them. We remember the days of Lent also with great joy, the news of Christ's resurrection. May new life become a reality as we join in the prayer taught by our Savior, Jesus. Mother, Father, God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now the great light rises from the heavy queen. We love.
Our second scripture reading this morning is Luke chapter 1, verses 35 to 38. The angel Gabriel is visiting Mary to request her help and to allay her fears in becoming the mother of Jesus. This is Angel Gabriel. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Child of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am God's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Throughout Lent, we spoke of baptism being the origins of Lent. During early Christianity, Easter was the most common day for adults to be baptized. Lent became a time of learning, reflection, and preparation for the commitment to Christ through the sacrament of baptism. Our middle hymn reflects the significance of our baptism and the journey our lives take as we commit to a life as a Jesus follower. Please rise as you are able and join in singing At the Font We Start Our Journey.
At the font we start our journey, in the Easter faith baptized. Doubts and fears no longer blind us, by the light of Christ's surprise. Alleluia, alleluia, hope held out and realized. At the pulpit we are fastened by the Easter tale retold, into witnesses and prophets by the power of Christ made bold. Alleluia, alleluia, faith proclaimed yet still untold. At the door we are commissioned, now the Easter victory's won, to restore a world divided to the peace of Christ as one. Alleluia, alleluia, Easter's work must still be done.
Please be seated. Well, as I said earlier, the season after Lent and Easter through Pentecost is a time called Eastertide. And this year, we'll be exploring the concept of emerging from the tomb and or the cocoon. Easter is not just one day for Christians, but it is the day. And it's what guides us throughout the year. So today, we're talking about coming out, leaving comfortable places. We acknowledge the challenge of coming out through our scripture in Exodus. And then we look at the beauty of the unexpected by coming out of the cocoon or tomb through our text from Luke, which calls us not to be afraid. So I just want to briefly mention the judicial council and the commission, the Way Forward Commission, which are two things that are going on in our denomination, and it leaves us a little uncertain. And so I'm bringing it up in this moment to say that who knows what's going to happen with our denomination with the answers to these, both of these groups meeting, both the Judicial Council and with the Way Forward Commission. And so I have asked everyone to be in prayer for the next, well, Tuesday through Friday, and we'll have two prayer visuals here because we don't know what's going to happen next in our denomination. I don't want to be someone who alerts you and scares you, but I also want you to be, you know, to know that something may be emerging in our denomination, and we need to be praying about it. And if you cannot pray in the church at 2 a.m., it's okay to sign up and pray at home. So the prayer schedule is around the clock, but it's okay to pray at home. You don't have to come to church. So just wanted to clarify that so you knew that we weren't counting on people being here all night long. All right, so back to our text. You may be wondering, why in the world, Pastor, did you pick out the Exodus text in Eastertide? What's going on here? I selected this text because sometimes it's hard to come out of comfortable places. The Israelites were enslaved for 400 years. Generation after generation had remained slaves in Egypt. And the oppression and the slavery just drained on them. Generation after generation after generation. You can imagine, because that happens still today, doesn't it? People living in poverty, that it's a cycle in their family. Generation after generation, they get exhausted, they get discouraged, and it's hard sometimes to come out of comfortable places. Around the world, there are people being oppressed generation after generation after generation. And so we look at this text knowing that the Israelites have been held in slavery and oppressed for 400 years. And then a new king came to power that was very harsh on them. And that's where we find ourselves in this text. The Israelites had been growing in numbers. They'd been doing what they were told to do, multiplying. And the king was nervous because what if there was more of them than there was of us? They might want to overthrow me and my kingdom, and we don't want that happening. So the king ruled that the midwives were to kill the boys when they're born. And I mean, I'm very briefly going over this. Please go home and read the full text in your Bible so that you can hear the whole story. I can't tell you the whole story. There's so much juicy stuff that we can talk about in this text that we're only going to talk about little bits, but there's so much more to read and know and wrestle with. So some years went by, and Moses became upset because he heard of this ruling that the boys were to be killed, and he also saw the harshness and the brutality that the Egyptians were doing and giving to the Israelites, and it broke his heart. And then God spoke to him. And Moses brought this to the Israelites, this message to the Israelites. And I'm thinking, how exciting, right? Wow, God is speaking to Moses. Moses is telling the Israelites what to do. Isn't that great? All this hope. And they were so exhausted, discouraged, oppressed, that they couldn't even hear the hope that Moses was bringing from the Word of God. They were incredibly discouraged. I'd like to share with you this because this is a tool I want to tell you about, but in the text, there's some differentiations. So here we're looking at the Common English Bible next to the New Living Translation, next to the New Revised Standard Version, next to the Contemporary English Version. Because in the middle of the text, in Exodus, it talks about the judgment. But in the Common English Bible, it says, and the momentous events of justice. Not judgment, but of justice. And I found this interesting because every time I think of judgment, I think it's bad. It's something bad is happening. And this is what the text is talking about, that God will bring judgment to the Egyptians to bring, be more kind and not to hold the Israelites in oppression. But then there's that word justice in there. To me, that intrigued me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just the only nerd in the room, but that intrigued me. And then at the bottom, in the green boxes, their complete exhaustion and their hard labor. Next to, another translation, too discouraged by the brutality of their slavery. Next to the next translation, their broken spirit and their cruel slavery. Next to, discouraged and mistreated to believe him. Wow. Broken spirit, discouraged, exhausted, too discouraged to believe him. Wow. So if you want to play with this tool on the internet any day, you go to BibleGateway.com, and there's a way in which you can put these side by side, the same exact text in different translations, so that you can see how they were translated and put together. So, too discouraged, broken spirit, exhausted, too exhausted to believe. Wow. Well, doesn't that remind us of us? Aren't we just like the Israelites sometimes? I'm not comparing their slavery to what we go through, because slavery is beyond anything I can imagine. But aren't we sometimes slaves to success or slaves to expectations set by our family, or maybe expectations set by ourselves? Or maybe we're too exhausted to believe because of our past or our present situation or the expectations that we need to feel that we feel we need to live up to. Or maybe we're just physically exhausted to believe. And maybe we're exhausted from pretending. We're exhausted from wearing that mask. At church, do we think we need to be something that we're not? Are we pretending? Do we put on an act? Are we ready to be authentic with one another? Are we truly open to hearing someone else's struggle? Coming out is really hard. It's nice to stay in a comfortable place, even when that comfortable place is not safe physically or emotionally. We want to stay in the cocoon of comfort, of the known, of the certain. I'd like to share this song with you. And as you listen to the song, please know this could be speaking about a relationship within a couple, within a friendship, within the people here in this congregation, or it might even be speaking about our relationship with God.
What if I told you about my little nothing town, the two-room house where I came from, the man that I got my name from, I don't even know where he is now. What if I told you sometimes I lose my faith, I wonder why someone like you would even talk to me. What if I told you there's no fixing me, 'cause everybody's already tried. Would you stay? Would you leave? I could wait. It'll all come out eventually. If I told you all the stupid things I've done, I blamed on me. Any other, I was old enough to know. I know if I told you the mess that I can be.
If we show people who we really are, if we come out of our cocoon or tomb and truly share our gifts, what if? What would emerge? And we hear this over and over and over, as we did in our text from Luke. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to let these gifts, your true self, emerge. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 30. It's just before the text that Lee read this morning, just to give you a little context. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Wow. What if each of us has found favor with God? Do not be afraid. Luke and the Gospels give us hope in the impossible in many ways, but in these few verses, we have hope in what seems impossible. First of all, an angel visits. Wow. Mary, a young woman, has found favor with God. She becomes pregnant and gives birth in the future to Jesus. And Elizabeth, her cousin, becomes pregnant with John the Baptist. And Elizabeth is of an old age. And then the angel says, nothing will be impossible with God. Do not be afraid, and nothing will be impossible with God. Wow. In the song we'll be singing each week, this is the day of new beginnings. I want you to look at these words because they're powerful. This is a day of new beginnings, a time to remember and move on, a time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. I hope during Eastertide we'll be able to live into this song. It's a time to believe what love, what God is bringing. Every day is a day of new beginnings because we can choose it and because we can trust that love, that God is with us in our coming out and leaving the comfortable places. It's interesting because I feel like we have several lives. I have a friend who used to say, in my past life, blah, 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 blah. Like, in my past life, when I partied in college, blah, 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 blah. In my past life, when I had young children, blah, 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 blah. And she would call her different stages of life her past life. And isn't that true? We each have several lives within our life. I found this quote, which I forgot to write the author down as I was looking through images. It says, "He came into this world to make dead people live." Well, we know some people who are walking zombies, disconnected with emotions or with their spiritual life, and we may be one of those zombies. But we are not designed to be zombies. We're designed to have several lives within our life. Lazarus, who we'll speak about later in this series, and Jesus both rose from the dead and were not zombies, but were made new.
It is challenging to come out of our cocoons and tombs because it may be comfortable or we may know what to expect in it. But we're designed for so much more. And with the example that Jesus gave, nothing is impossible. He showed us we all can be made new, trusting in the love of God. God will not make sure we have perfect lives, but God will always be with us in the tomb or the cocoon and be with us when we emerge. The tomb is a symbol of darkness and death. For Jesus, is a symbol of transformation. And as we read the very hungry caterpillar, the author described the process of preparing for the cocoon. Remember all the food that caterpillar ate. And we have been preparing. And now it's time for us as individuals and as a congregation to come out, leaving the comfortable places, to emerge into a beautiful butterfly. Amen.
As we enter a time of giving, I'd like to remind everyone to please pass your attendance slips into the baskets as the ushers come down the aisle. I think they're yellow and purple, but whatever they are, please put them in. I'd like our first-time visitors of the church to know we do not expect a donation from you today. You're our guest. We are very grateful you are here. Yet, we do have a strong tradition of giving here at University Church. So, as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, donations, and offerings. Please join in the unison prayer of dedication displayed on the screen. God of new life, we offer all that we have and all that we are in amazed gratitude for the gift of emerging anew in our lives, in our community. May these offerings be used to shape, rattle, roll. Please remain standing and join in singing, Easter People, Raise Your Voices, in the blue hymnal or displayed on the screen.
Easter People, oh, raise your voices, sounds of heaven in earth should ring. Christ has brought us heaven's choices, heavenly music let it ring. Alleluia, alleluia, Easter people, let us sing. Fear of death can no more stop us from our pressing here below. For our Lord empowered us to triumph over every foe. Alleluia, alleluia, unto victory now we go. Every day to us is Easter with its resurrection song. When in trouble, move the faster to our God who rights the wrong. Alleluia, alleluia, see the power of heavenly throne.
So, we have a couple things going on after worship. First, I just want to correct something real quick that's in this blue thing inside your bulletin. You don't need to sign up for the teach-in tomorrow. Just show up. We'd love to have you, just so you know. You don't have to sign up to come. And invite a friend, because we'd love a big crowd. After worship, of course, I'll be standing over here if you want to sign up for an hour of prayer, home or in the church. And we have coffee, I know it for sure because I drank some already. Beyond out these two doors, on the other side of this wall, please join together. Let's just hang out and gather and have some coffee. And I think that's it. So, form us. Hold us. Open us, unfold us, unfurl us, untether us, uncurl us, uncrease us, unwrap us. Go now in peace to love and serve our God. Amen.